Michelle said.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good morning, man.
Good morning to you too, sir. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised, but I'm great.
I know. Man, we had kind of a wild night last night.
Well, no, it was fun. We went and had a few cocktails and ate Korean barbecue.
And we went to a Korean barbecue place. I don't know that we had Korean barbecue last night.
Well, I know that there was this open flame thing on our table.
That was there.
And I know that the bill was really large.
That was also true.
And I know that we ate some really expensive and tasty meats.
That's also, I mean, it was good, don't get me wrong, but it was very much a Miami take on Korean barbecue.
As opposed to a Houston take on Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
Although there probably are more Koreans in Houston than there are Miami. And I base that on absolutely nothing.
No, I mean, I would put money on that. I think that's a safe bet.
Think with all the engineering stuff and, you know, that just kind of makes sense to me. But
anyway. Yeah. Well, look, you know, it was also nice too, because I got to enjoy an extremely fine cigar that you hooked me up with.
Yeah,
well,
it was good. So. We recently talked about cigars on the show, and although I don't know what order these episodes are coming out in.
That was a couple of weeks ago.
And you smoked a delicious Opus X. And,
yeah.
And that was tasty. And yeah, it was good, man. We walked around this we're recording this series of episodes from Miami, and we are in this kind of, they call it like the design district, which is kind of weird, because like you walk around this district and it's either a watch store where they sell $30,000 Patek Philippe watches.
Somehow.
Apparently they sell enough of them. Apparently they sell enough of them to stay open. And then and then there's a lot of interior design shops, which is interesting. And then fancy restaurants that have floral arrangements. And yeah, it's kind of over the top. It's very Miami. And then, of course, lots of small dogs.
John David, why did all the stores switch their signs from open to close whenever we walked by? All of the nice clothes stores.
I have a pretty good reason. I have a pretty good idea that, you know, it's kind of like when you go to, like, you know, a certain part of town and you see like panhandlers and stuff, and you kind of pull up to the stop sign and you lock your door, you know, and you're like, they're probably a nice person, but I'm just gonna lock my door.
Just gonna lock the door.
Yeah, I mean, you know that's
what they were doing to us.
I think that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks.
It was fun though. We had a great night. Bo and I got to spend some real quality time together, kind of catching up and just, you know, talking about life. And it was deep and good.
That was special.
Had a good time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, hey, man, speaking of good time, we are having a good time here with this wonderful podcast for several years now because of the amazing support of our patrons and our club members over at the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. Today, joining at the Squire level, ladies and gentlemen, he is full of nothing but jargon. It's Derek Jarnigan. Wait a minute. Derek Jarnigan, I've made a joke about you're not being jar, but being jarn again. Is that... I've done that before.
That sounds about right.
Jar Jar Binks is jarring again.
That I'm almost positive you've said about Derek before.
No, not at all. Yeah. That has to be fresh. Speaking of fresh, also joining at the Squire level, we have Brian Mac Nevin. I'm sorry, Brian. I think I'm pronouncing your name correct.
No.
I was gonna try, and then I looked at it and I was like,
Brian McNevin. Yeah. Back as a Squire.
McNevin. Come on. Brian Levine. Brian McNevin.
That's maybe.
This long lost cousin.
Or if it's French, it could be McNevin.
Of Brian Levine, but this is Brian Mac. This is his Irish cousin.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, Derek and Brian, thank you so much. Of course, you know, both these are dear friends of the show that have been supporting us for a long time, and we're just very thankful to have you back in the Squire fold. You know, so that's great.
Scottish cousin.
Scottish.
Mac would be Scottish, right?
Yeah.
My apologies to our Irish and our Scottish listeners. So thank y'all so much, as John David said. Man, okay, we are doing some work today.
Yeah.
You know, we are coming up to the good folks of Country Squire Radio, and we are doing the thing they love us to do, and that is talking tobacco.
The bread and butter.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for this one in particular. I know I say that a lot, but this time it's actually true. No, I'm just kidding. It's always true. But like this time in particular, we were kind of, you know, prepping before the show, and you also... You know, we're telling me what we're going to talk about. You know, I always get kind of, you know, the live surprise. I get to kind of react naturally. I look like an idiot while you look, you know, smart in these. And that works out well. But you brought up one. I was like, huh, that sounds oddly familiar. And we'll get to it. I'm not trying to give away the shop here. I'm just saying, like,
Yeah.
I'm very eager to dive into this tobacco talk with you.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I think this will be fun. So we are doing a tobacco talk today. We like to pick out a couple of tobaccos. You know, traditionally, we've had some that have been, you know, a lot of tinned tobaccos that we select. Sometimes we review one of our own blends that we've produced at the Squire. Sometimes we've done artisanal blends from other shops or other small batch blenders. And then, of course, sometimes bulk tobaccos that you can get by weight from, you know, some of the big names. And so, yeah, today we're doing actually what we've referred to in the past as a hamster cage tobacco.
Yeah.
And then another tobacco that is a bulk tobacco. But I think when I pulled out this little cellophane pouch, kind of hear a crinkle here in the microphone.
Right.
You know, I think it caught Bo a little off guard, but it's a good tobacco, and we're gonna discuss it today. And it's Amphora's original blend.
I feel like this is, you know, mass hysteria, lions and dogs, cats and dogs, you know, lying together. You know, like you said, it's a hamster cage tobacco, but it's a good tobacco.
No, this is the deal. Like, yes, like I mean, the thing is, how do I defend myself here?
I don't think you can.
Early? No, okay. So Amphora, this is a historic brand that's been kind of resurrected by the Mac Baren company. Baren, of course, longtime fanboy of Mac Baren, one of the, you know, leading tobacconists and blenders in the world, pipe tobacco houses from Denmark, and of course Per Jensen, who, you know, does their blending and a lot of their strategic thinking and planning, just does a fantastic job. But So you've got these cellophane pouches, right, that they've kind of resurrected. And a lot of times when you think of those, you think of something that you would get at Walgreens, maybe on the bottom shelf, you know, that tastes like, you know, it smells good in the pouch. But when you light it up, you know, a lot of times all you're really getting is, I don't know, molten lava on your tongue, uh-huh. That kind of thing. What they've done with the Amphora brand, I really do like, because the tobacco's are very approachable, but they're high quality for what they are. And I really appreciate that.
I guess that language you just used is important. They're high quality for what they are.
You know, when you look at these cellophane pouches, a lot of times you're thinking, okay, well, this is roll your own tobacco masquerading as a pipe tobacco to avoid like taxes or something.
Right.
Amphora, this is a historic brand of tobacco, but if you can kind of think of some of your drugstore over-the-counter brands and then kind of add a little pizzazz to them with a little higher quality, that's where you land with Amphora, I think.
Okay.
And so I think Amphora really does have a place there. We've talked before about some of their blends. And so Amphora, they've got a whole bevy. You know, you've got like a Black Cavendish and an English, a Virginia that's actually really good. The Kentucky blend is very good. And anytime you've got a list of kind of a selection of blends like this, generally there's one that's called like the original or the standard or something like that. I know, you know, forever those old Dunhill blends, they had like all these fancy named Dunhills, you know, Nightcap and Early Morning Pipe and, you know, all these different ones, but then there was just like standard mixture. That's the one that always got like overlooked because it's like, well, no one wants that.
It didn't have like a sexy name type situation.
Yeah, like, and so today we're going to talk about Amphora's version of that, which is the original blend. And,
okay, I mean.
And so these retail for about $7 or $8 for what essentially is a 2 ounce pouch. It's 1.75 ounce pouch. It's really pretty good. So I'm gonna pass this over to Bo.
I mean, you know, normally, whenever we do this, I get to define the tin art and talk about the great...
Well, yeah, now you talk about the cellophane art.
Artistry. Yeah, okay, so don't get me wrong. It's actually...
It's a relatively handsome package.
It's pretty cool. All right, this feels weird, man.
Buzz okay. Cringing. It's okay.
All right, so like that's the thing. The background has kind of like a cloudy red, black, just kind of general, you know, background. But you got the sigil of Amphora. Amphora?
What's a sigil?
A sigil, like a symbol or like a like the house crest, if you will.
Yeah, okay.
So where you have these two lovely mermaids who are blowing these seashells, kind of the crown conch type of shell.
Okay.
Between them, they're back to back, but between them is an oval, which has a vase and a crown on top of it. There's a lot of royal imagery going on, kind of almost like a coastal regal type of experience. You might imagine this pipe tobacco to be enjoyed by the Navy's finest admirals as they kind of oversee you know, their fleet, except, you know, it's wrapped in like a weird plastic pouch and it's got like, you know, the gold
right
thing. And it's like,
you're a skeptic.
Well, if not for the pack, like that's the thing. The branding is great.
Yeah.
But the packaging feels off.
Well, and it, you know, you're going to have that, right? Some, I think what Amphora is trying to do here is they've redeveloped some of these blends, put a lot of thought into them, and are trying to put them in a packaging that is very appealing to just kind of the everyday smoker. And so, I'm leaning into that. I'm appreciating that. I think there's something here.
All right. So riddle me this, Batman. If they're trying to appeal to the everyday smoker through the packaging from that standpoint.
Yeah.
And the everyday smoker is looking at packaging like this for just roll your own. Is this a roll? Like, do people use this in a roll your own context?
They don't. No. Not at all. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about the cut of this particular tobacco in a second. So it's
can I open it, by the way?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, it's open. So, but open it up. Smell it. Tell us the aroma and
okay. And all cocoa. That. Very chocolatey.
Yep. Look just at Bo developing his sense. Palette. It makes me so happy.
Dried fruits.
Fruit liniments and eczema.
But like more like an apricot maybe or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then maybe a little bit of nuttiness. I mean, this is just going from like the package note.
Sure.
Which, you know, to be fair, like I said, you know, the reality is probably I would imagine like a package note is actually probably stronger than a tin note because it probably retains some of that, you know, smell, I would imagine to some extent, maybe better than a tin or maybe
some of the
worse.
Oils. Yeah, I don't know. I would probably call it a wash, although tins, if they're sealed properly, probably do stay a little fresher.
So. I mean, it smells good.
Yeah, it does.
It does smell a little, you know, like a candy bar, not in a candy bar in like a overly sweet kind of way, but in like a cocoa,
like
type
a semi-sweet chocolate kind of deal. Yeah. Okay. So what they've done here, they've taken, this is an aromatic tobacco, as you can imagine.
Right.
It's a thick cut ribbon. And so as you're looking at the ribbon, you see these kind of large chunky cuts. It's not necessarily, I wouldn't call it a ready rubbed tobacco. This is a tobacco that is just kind of a thick cut that has a nice coarse grain to it, which I like. It kind of, it smokes almost kind of reminiscent of a broken flake. It's kind of nice.
It feels like a thicker ribbon.
It's a thicker ribbon. Yeah. Just the cut is a little more generous on this particular tobacco, which for me always tends to load better in a little more, you know, widely bowled pipe. You know, this tobacco has pretty much everything but the kitchen sink in it. Okay. So it's got Burley, it's got Cavendish, it's got even some Turkish leaf, it's got some Kentucky in there. And then, of course, Virginia's. They've put it all kind of in there, and then they've covered it with this, like a simple syrup, along with kind of a baking chocolate topping on there. And it actually is pretty good. It really is.
Does it smoke sweet like that as well?
It smokes sweet, yeah. Although you need, this is a tobacco. And most products that come out of Mac Baren's factory, I just find this the case. And this goes for their most premium tobacco and their least premium tobacco. But you just kind of need to smoke stuff from them real slowly. You just kind of do. You kind of need to nurse their tobaccos in a way that lets the flavors develop slowly. I can't rush through a bowl of anything that comes out of Mac Baren's factory. I just can't. I have to really take my time and let the flavors develop slowly. Let the sugars do their magic kind of in a slow way. But anyway, the original's really good. I enjoyed it. And, you know, it's one of those that, you know, again, if you smoke it at the right cadence, you know, I think it does well. So,
okay. All right.
It's medium bodied, not a huge nicotine hit or anything like that, although it does have some Kentucky in there, which lends its own kind of roasted flavor to it.
I mean, this is considered a Burley blend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of aromatics are. This is more of a Dutch Cavendish, which when we think of black Cavendish, we think of like a fermented, you know, something that's been steamed, or, you know, it's kind of pliable and all that. So typically, well, it's black, you know. Dutch Cavendish is more, it's a hybrid really between it's a topped tobacco that is Burley or Virginia based, but it's much more minimally processed than a fermented or a black Cavendish. So anyway, it's got, you know, more of the natural tobacco flavor that's there, but you still give a nice base for that topping that they've let soak in. So if you're looking for a good, you know, all day, everyday aromatic that's approachable and accessible and, you know, you can throw it in your pocket and not worry about it. One thing a lot of people really do like pouches because they're just a little easier to keep up with than tins.
Well, I mean, I get it from a travel standpoint.
Hey, let me cram it in my pocket standpoint. Right. You know what I mean? Also, when you're loading your pipe, it's just easy.
It becomes like a catch-all. So, you know, if you're like something sprinkling off the side, it just goes right back
in
the
pouch.
It's
just that kind of thing. So they really, so, you know, there's a thing there. So, original blend from M4.
Okay. So here's my thing. All right. And I know we're about to transition to the next tobacco, but while we're still on this, it reminds me of some feedback that we got off of our first Finer Things episode.
Yeah.
Where I think a listener wrote in and commented about how there was a little bit of a disappointment in that, you know, we kind of naysayed, you know, straight razor shaving and everything. Yeah. And it's like, you know, well, as pipe smokers, we you know, don't always go for the newest innovation or what's most convenient because we appreciate the artistry and the imagery.
Yeah, sure.
And I think there's a lot of truth in what he was saying. And I think that the trick back then was that we kind of came into that looking for that, but then we talked to an expert. And so we kind of let him drive that, you know,
the content really and the expertise. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, he certainly knew more about it than we
did. We got educated through that process as well, which was interesting. But like, we didn't go out in pursuit of not that. That's actually what we went out in pursuit of, and that's what we got back. This kind of feels like that. I mean, like when you're talking about the not this tobacco per se, but in terms of like the packaging and everything, it's like, well, I don't want a plastic wrap. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I get how convenient it is from a traveling standpoint and how nice it is that you're, you know, getting more tobacco back in the bag as opposed to like on the table or something like that. I do have experienced these conveniences as well, but I also like the impracticality of trying to stuff a circular tin in my pocket
because you're a pipe smoker and we like weird knickknacks that don't make sense. Right.
Exactly. All right. I want to make the comparison before we transition.
No, that's great. I think that's fair. Yeah. Okay. So moving on, we've got next a blend that's actually from our good friend, Eric Stokeby at Fourth Generation Tobaccos. Eric, of course, you know, makes and has an awesome pedigree in the pipe world, also has collaborated with some of the larger pipe manufacturers in the world to make his own pipe brand, which, you know, is at various price points. He's got some stuff he's done with Petter Jeppesen at Nierup, some stuff he's done with Eric Nording, some stuff he's done with Antoine Grenard at Chacombe, and just, you know, awesome guy. We love Eric. And so, anyway, he's got a bulk series of tobaccos now that are available at some tobacconists. And one of the bulk blends really caught me. And I've just been kind of captivated by it. This is a tobacco that is great to smoke by itself. It's great if you want to tinker with it to use as, you know, some type of ingredient or something. But it's just a tasty, warm, buttery tobacco that just, I don't know if butterscotch wanted to be or maple syrup wanted to be a tobacco that was high quality and very smokable, won't mess up your pipe, makes the room smell good all day, everyday smoke. It would be this tobacco. And it is the Morning Blend from Fourth Generation. We picked this up at the shop maybe, I don't know, it's probably been about a year ago now. It's been really a good seller. It's done well. This is a Burley, Virginia, and they say Black Cavendish mixture. Although I'll be honest, like just, you know, and
just
again,
eyeballing it.
Again, I'm not, you know, Bo gives me more credit, I think, than I deserve, but I don't, you know, see a lot of Black Cavendish in here, if really any. I'm sure it's in there somewhere, but this is a honey or a oak colored blend. You know, it's just got that nice warmth, light brown color to it. And so anyway, you want to give it a smell, Bo?
Yeah, let's take a look at it. You know, it's interesting because, you know, this is also part of one of the reasons I was excited to do this one when I saw the tobaccos on the table, because I'm not used to seeing Fourth Generation in a Country Squire bag.
Written on a Country Squire label in a Country Squire plastic bag, right?
Yeah, like, you know, I know...
You're used to seeing it in a fancy tin.
Yeah, the fancy tin with the brown and white, or now he's got some that are like the black and brown as well, but like with the whole, you know, flair and, you know, all the different fonts and everything else like that. Like, I remember when that series came out, you know, we were...
Yeah.
Some of the first to actually get access to it. It was really good.
That was exciting. Yeah.
So it was kind of, it was just like, I was like, huh. And I was actually, I didn't ask you about it just because we didn't have time before we clicked play. Cause I saw it there and I was like, huh, Fourth Generation in a bulk bag.
Yeah.
Did he just like not want to bring the tin or what happened? Oh, wow. Okay. That's,
doesn't that smell great?
That smells amazing.
The bag note on it is so good.
Okay.
It's really, really good.
This, I miss this. And I mean, like, I know we do this now, this yeah. year and everything, but this, I have missed this part of the show yeah. so much over the last couple of years, because you would bring the tobaccos to the studio or we do it in the shop and I could breathe in. And actually I think there's more benefit in what we're doing now, because like at the shop, you always have the competing smells of all like the day's smokers. That
you know,
are there.
That's a good point. It's like, you got your cigar guy in the corner, you right. got your, you know, people been smoking five different Latakia blends, and then you're trying to get the aroma of this, whatever you're smelling.
Right.
Here.
And then Breyer was always there. So Breyer always had his distinct,
Bowser's
Castle smell. So, but no, doing this back to back against the Amphora. I'm sorry.
Amphora, yeah.
Which was very, like I said, very cocoa nut. You had some like
chocolate.
I got kind of an apricot in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is very sweet, like honey sweet. Mm-hmm. Like is kind of what I'm getting from that. Like,
doesn't it smell great?
No, I want to smoke this immediately.
You know, back in the day when I first started smoking pipe tobacco, I think I've told this story probably 1,000 times, but you know, working at Walgreens, I remember, you know, when my manager wasn't looking, I'd take those big, huge bags of super value tobacco or whatever they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd just bury my face in them, you know, not opening the package, but I wouldn't do that. But I just like, I'd get my nose just all next to that package and just smell it. And it smelled so warm and good. And I remember when I first started smoking a pipe, you know, 18 years old, like that smell, that's what was like, man, I got to be a pipe smoker. And it's what's coming out of that bag that you're holding right there.
It smells amazing.
Yeah.
Like this is happening at lunch. I'm just saying, I'm definitely smoking.
Well, it's really good. So yeah. what you've got there, of course, again, is that, you know, finely ribbon cut tobacco. It's kind of nice and spongy. It's got just the right amount of moisture.
Yeah.
It does have a little bourbon simple syrup topping. I detect some maple there that's very present.
Right. Yeah.
In some sense, it reminds me a little bit of Autumn Evening from Cornell and Deal, but it's a very different tobacco. So I hate to even make that up. There's something about the bag note that just really, really points me in that direction. So this is a blend that, that lights well. I also would smoke it a little slowly, although not quite to the degree that we talked about with the Amphora, but this is a blend that, you know, it's going to be a little nutty. You'll have a surprising citrus note come in when you're smoking this tobacco, which is a little surprising for me, because when you smell it, you think more honey flavor, nutty, pecan, walnut. But with this, you really will get kind of the citrusy element that's there that just is surprising a little bit. And then, of course, it finishes up with just a really nice, warm, sweet bread. And it's hard to... hard to beat a tobacco that does that. So again, we're talking an aromatic tobacco here. It's not a syrupy aromatic, but it is aromatic. So you're going to want to sip it and nurse it, but it makes the room smell really good with a mild to medium strength. And so, fourth generation morning blend, really good. I recommend it.
How about it, man? Yeah. No, yep. Like I said, that, I'm very looking forward to having that for a little dessert after lunch.
Yeah, a little after our you know, street tacos or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, whenever we do this, it's always great because we get a chance to try some different tobaccos and you kind of expand all of our palates and perhaps even today our minds in terms of where we might even look for quality pipe tobacco here.
That's right.
I still am staring at this Amphora and I'm like,
smoke it. I'm telling you, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
No, I do believe you.
Like, you really will be.
And that's the thing, right? Like packaging is part of the process.
No, it is. It is.
It's not the only thing. It's not the most important thing, but it is a part of the thing. And
yeah,
that
we've established that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll try that as well. I mean, it smells good. Like this tobacco legitimately smells good as well. But anyway, with both of these, they are very different. And one of the things that I think that as you're kind of trying different pipe tobaccos, you want to make sure that you've got a plethora of really, really good quality pipes that always make sure you get the right flavor profiles with every single smoke. And that's where we always kind of guide you in the direction of our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That is right, man. We love the folks at Missouri Meerschaum. They've sponsored our show for a long time now. And we are proud to be a part of their family. Right now, for the next several weeks, they are doing a promotion. If you go to their Facebook page on Tuesday,
Cobb Tuesday,
Cobb Tuesday of every week, they're going to have
a
question, some type of trivia question that you'll be able to answer. And then they're going to pick winners that have answered that question on the following day. And those winners will get credit at the Missouri Meerschaum online store. And so go check it out. Man, really exciting stuff that they've got going on over there. Of course, you know, great products. products, and you can use it for apparel that they sell, and accessories, tobaccos, and most importantly, those wonderful corn cob pipes.
Questions on a cob Tuesday. But think about it. It'd be like a cob, but like questions are all like kerneled off. Never mind. Sorry, this is terrible. Thanks.
Oh my gosh. Your cob
our appreciation and apologies to our good friends at Missouri
Beershop. Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week this week coming in from J.A. Griff. Or J.A. Griff, who says, hey, Bo and John David, being a fan of both pipes and cigars, I've been following Stillwell Star line of cigars that are premium cigars blended with pipe tobacco. A couple people have written in about this over. The collab between Steve Saka and Jeremy Reeves.
Yeah.
Mellon Deal. Wondering if you guys have any experience with these cigars. I'm real curious about them because of the collaboration with C&D. John David, yeah. What are your thoughts?
So haven't tried these yet, but have heard quite a bit about them. Steve Saka, very well known in the cigar industry.
Where based out of? Or?
So worked at Drew Estate and now is head of Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, which is a very fancy Baroque name. It's what he's doing at Dunbarton is just incredible. I mean, he's got just some real, real winners over that. So Sabra Mesa is one of the best mild cigars on the market, I think, right now. But anyway, so Steve and, of course, Jeremy, who everyone in the pipe world knows, have kind of collaborated, and they've come out with these cigars that, you know, have pipe tobacco and have the characteristic aromas that you would think of with different blends. And so haven't tried them yet. Heard a lot about them. Would love to get my hands on some and give them a whirl. Yeah, heard nothing but good things.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you're gonna, I mean, these are two heavyweights, obviously, in their respective industries. And so if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna talk about, okay, who's out there that's most qualified to blend pipe tobacco, Jeremy Reeves, who's out there that's most qualified to make an ultra premium hand rolled cigar, Steve Saka. I mean, this is like, you know, these are your heavyweights coming together to do this. And so from all indications, they've done a really good job.
I get it, like, in the sense that there's obviously a lot of demand for this. I mean, I can't even count how many emails we've gotten from people asking for kind of like, oh, I smoke pipes. What cigar would I, what's the most, you know, pipe-like cigar that's out there? Or I enjoy cigars, so which pipe tobacco, should I go to? Like, we get that from both sides. And so there's clearly been a demand for this. You know, I will say this is like the skeptical episode for me overall, but I keep on being proven wrong. So, you know, I think, you know, let's read into that as much as possible.
Well, you got to think some of the best selling cigars in America are aromatic or infused cigars.
Sure.
Right. And so we're just taking that a further step with pipe tobacco. Now, you've got obviously non-aromatic pipe tobaccos that, you know, feature more Latakia and Kentucky and all this other stuff. But, you know, but generally a lot of folks, when they're thinking of a pipe tobacco cigar, they're thinking, oh, you know, something sweet or infused. And so they're giving it a whirl, you know, and apparently by all indications, it's been a big hit. So I'm all about more and more, you know, opportunity for crossover. And
yeah.
It sounds like they're onto something.
I need to try one to find out.
I do too.
Like we talk about all the time, cigars and pipe tobacco, they're cousins, and sometimes cousins shouldn't have kids.
Sometimes? Oh, man. Yeah, you know, they did that a lot in the
1800s. I was going to say, British royalty notwithstanding.
Was that like Habsburg jaw thing that happens or something, you know, where you just can't, I don't know.
Anyway, I'll try it. Let's try it. Let's see. We should probably do, I mean, maybe that needs to be a tobacco talk in the future at some
Sometimes
point.
Sometimes cousins shouldn't have kids. Yeah, you know, we could do a series, obviously, on pipe tobacco cigars, because certainly there is a fusion there that, you know, tons of crossover that
specifically because of the fusion.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
I think it would qualify.
Sure. Anyway. Yeah. Anything that either of these gentlemen come out with is going to be, obviously, even if it's not to your taste, it's going to be well respected in the community because of the weight that they both carry. And so for them to collab and come out with something is pretty special.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see. All right. Jay, A. Griff, thanks so much for the email, the pipe question. Hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, send it in, show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire question! Ow! All right, man. Quick fire questions coming in at you. Hot from me. All right. For the quick fire question, I did something a little crazy this week. Okay.
Okay.
It's going to sound Gumby, but then once the question comes up, it's going to make sense.
Okay. So it's going to sound like something I'm not familiar with at all. And I'm going to want to make fun of you for it.
Well, no.
But
yes.
Then I'm still going to make fun of you for it, even though I'll understand it.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. I have to actually educate you on it because you need to understand the principle of the question.
All right, let's get started.
All right, here we go.
Go.
All right, Aquaman. You're familiar with Aquaman?
I've heard of him.
Okay. Aquaman can control fish, right? Like they say he talks to fish. He goes, and then like circles come out of his head. And then all of sea life does whatever he says.
Responds.
Yes.
Okay.
So like if he's in battle.
It's the Dr. Doolittle of fish.
Yes. So if he's like, he's fighting a bad guy or something underwater, he's like, and then a bunch of sharks come in and like bite the bad
some
guy.
Some porpoises or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And like a big, like
porpoise with a porpoise.
Come around and do the thing. Or like if he's chilling out, like in the ocean, like bobbing up and down on a floaty.
Right.
And he's like, oh man, I need to get my thing that's over there. He goes, fish come and they bring it to him.
Got it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So there's that. The purple man speaks and anyone will do what he says.
Okay.
All right. This is a flipping over to Marvel. Not that matters, but this is a villain, a super villain. Whereas Aquaman's a hero. The super villain says it's like whatever he says, people do instantly. If he's like, go away. They just walk away right immediately.
Okay.
Like whatever it is he says.
Mind control kind of stuff.
And he doesn't even have control over it in his case. Like literally just whatever he says, people do. He can't turn it off. It's like Midas touch to some extent.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So like it's one of those, he's destined to become a supervillain. There's just no way you can't be a supervillain.
Right. Sure. Poor guy.
And you have no constant, like, it's, you know, actually, all right, not to get off on it.
Right.
Like a complete tangent here. But like they explored the character in the Netflix series, Jessica Drew, where he's just a monster, but they give him like this one moment of like sympathy where he's like crying out, like, how do I even understand consent when everyone just always does what I want? How do I know they don't want to do that? Like, it's just, he has no perception.
What a poor guy.
I mean, like it's a tragic character.
It's a tragic. Let's talk about something else.
He's a monster though. All anyway, right. Point is, so that's the power, right?
Okay. He says, yeah.
All right. John David, I want to combine these two concepts right here.
Okay.
Where you, John David Cole, have been given a power. That whatever you say, but you get to choose, you have power over it. You have to, but when to apply it, when not to apply it, but not over everybody, specifically over one SEC football team. You should see the look on his face right now. He is so happy. He had no idea it was going this direction. So you now have the power,
what?
Like Aquaman, to control an SEC football team. And let me take this in both factions. It's while they're playing the games.
I'm so happy right now.
You could be sitting at home. You don't have to be present on the field.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. That's your superpower. John Day, but which team? Because obviously you could pick your favorite team where you're like saying like, oh, y'all should have done that. Or you could pick their like most enemy team.
Your nemesis
right.
team.
Exactly.
Right. The team that you shall not speak of.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you had no idea what was going here.
I didn't. I thought you were going to tell me, like, okay, which one would you rather have the ability to do, abuse men or abuse fish?
No, come on.
And I was like, well, I mean, if I could tell the fish to fry itself and then wind up in my belly, that's great. So, you know, I'm a Mississippi State Bulldog, and we are a founding member of the SEC. Our team over the past probably 15 years has been decent. Historically, before probably 15 years ago, our team has not been decent. But, you know, we're kind of on the rise a little bit. We've gone to several bowl games and had some big marquee wins. We're a number one team in the entire country a few years ago, and that was fun.
That's special.
And so didn't win the national championship or anything, but, you know, for about a 2 or 3 week period, we're number one. And so yeah, I'll go with controlling my own team.
Okay.
Because there's one specific team that there's bad guy 1A and then there's bad guy 1B.
Okay.
Both of these teams are opponent teams in the Southeastern Conference.
One of them's in Oxford, and where's the other one?
And the other one is in Auburn.
Oh, okay.
Alabama. And I just don't, there's just, every time these two teams play each other, I kind of just wish there would be like a cavern that would open up in the bowels of the earth and just kind of swallow all of them.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And but so I don't trust myself with that kind of power in relation to those. I'm sure they're fine gentlemen that play for those.
That's too much power to have over your enemies. You want to be able to support.
I don't trust myself. I'd rather work in a positive way for my own team.
All right. All right. Look at you go.
I'm trying to repent.
Wow.
I'm trying to repent of some of my own. Disdain for some of these who I'm sure are fine people.
Well,
so
there you go.
I will mind control the football players on the Mississippi State Bulldog football team.
That would be your superpower right there. Okay, great.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
This is great. You really enjoyed that question.
That was great.
You had no idea it was coming like
that. I thought you were going to ask me if I wanted to make fish jump out of the water.
No, I just needed to set up
like go to SeaWorld and, there's Shamu coming out and, you get to pet him while he's eating the goat leg or something.
I had to set up the concept of the superpower because I was thinking about how people always yell at the football screen, "No, don't do that." And I'm like, what if they actually had the superpower to make that happen, but specifically with one team?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, if I could make them catch the ball every time they threw the ball.
Right.
Then that'd be a win.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Quickfire questions. Y'all help us out. Send in some quickfire questions to the show. That's show@countrysquareradio.com.
That's hilarious.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback this week coming in from Aaron. He says, "Hey, guys, just wanted to say that I really enjoy listening to your podcast. I'm a sales rep for a liquor and wine distribution company, and I drive a lot and stumbled upon your podcast a few years ago, and it didn't take me long to catch up on all the episodes. I don't smoke my pipes very often, but I have a very respectable pipe stand with an array of pipes of different shapes, and I try and sit down with a pipe and a couple of times a month, weather permitting." All right, before I read the rest of this email... Let me just tell you where I was when I got this email.
Right.
Okay. So we're getting ready for our big Miami trip and everything.
Right.
And
right.
This is about to be really fun. And we have tons. I mean, the mailbag is so stuffed.
Just that, right.
So
we had a whole episode just going through.
Open up the email box and it's just screaming at you. You know, you're just like, all right, we're going through all this. I come upon this and I see Aaron's very, very awesome, pleasant email right here. And I, starting off with, being a sales rep for a liquor and wine distribution company, I'm like, oh, you know what? It would be really great to kind of partner with, possibly a sales rep for a liquor and wine distribution company for some Squire Select episodes in the future. Yeah. And so I'm sitting here thinking like, oh, great. Listen to Country Squire Radio, got a respectable pipe collection. I'm already kind of in my head formulating the response. As I'm reading the email.
Right.
Of how I'm going to reach back out to him and, really tell him how much we appreciate him for listening to the show and everything and just see if any of the
You
want
to collab or whatever?
Yeah, any of the brands that he represents might be interested in doing a partnership with Country Squire Radio.
Oh, my.
Pause for dramatic effect. And we're continuing. Anyways... I just wanted to reach out and say hello from Northern Minnesota. I am really looking forward to your new episode in 2022, especially all of your new series that you will be adding. Keep up the great work, guys, and feel free to reach out anytime to talk pipes, tobacco, life, or good quality liquor. (Parentheses) Our company represents Puncher's Chance Whiskey, and I laughed the entire episode. This is a representative.
Oh my gosh, man. and so this is a rep for Puncher's Chance. And I don't know if you've heard that Squire Select episode, dear listener, but
oh my gosh,
we raked them over the coals.
We
man.
Never do it like that. And I mean,
we went hard into the paint on that
one. Man.
And it was kind of ugly, but I'm not repentant of that. And man, I'm just, Aaron, you just have such a precious attitude.
Thank you so much for being a good sport. I was shaking when I read that.
Yeah.
When I was actively reading the sentence, because I'm dyslexic. It takes me a while to read. Right?
Once you confirmed what you thought you had read.
Right.
You fell out of your chair.
Well, it's before I got to the part where he said he laughed the entire time, when I saw the Puncher's Chance, it's my stomach just
kind of pucker. Yeah.
I was oh my gosh. What? And then he said he laughed the entire time and I was just dying. And I texted you and I was like,
oh,
we
man.
Just got an email from a sales representative from Puncher's Chance.
And I think my initial response was he angry?
You're tell me you're joking.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, man. That's fantastic. Well, from the fine people at Puncher's Chance, we appreciate your interest in our show.
Aaron, we
seriously thank you,
Aaron.
Yeah, yep.
Absolutely.
Seriously, thank you. Very kind, man.
All right, man. Well, hey, we always love talking some tobacco here, and we also love getting y'all's feedback. If you'd like to give us some feedback, you know what? Head over to iTunes and write us a review. I haven't been mentioning that recently, but it's a great way to help support the show. So yeah, we really encourage you to go do that. But of course, you can keep up with the show throughout the week. You can follow John David at John David Cole. You can follow the shop at _ Country Squire, the show at Squire Radio. But all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, it was the episode, the tobacco talk, that kind of had me skeptical the entire time and yet constantly proved that I was wrong and don't know what I'm talking about. Basically, it's Country Squire Radio. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to dive into these tobaccos.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think particularly that morning blend is going to be a nice after-lunch treat here.
All right, man. Yep. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.